Being as it's Christmas Eve, going to be reading from Luke 1, 26 through 38. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a town in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and he came to her and said, "Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And now you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give to him the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" The angel said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be holy. He will be called Son of God. And now your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son. And this is the sixth month for who said to be barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." Then Mary said, "Here am I, the servant of the Lord, let it be with me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. I would imagine that was a bit of a surprise to Mary. Can you imagine if you were standing somewhere and all of a sudden this brilliant angel appeared to you? Probably most of us would cut and run. But she stayed there and she's blessed among women now. There's a pastor, Ben Patterson, who tells about his five-year-old niece, Olivia, and her best friend, Claire. They were getting ready to put on a nativity play at school, like normal this time of year. Claire was playing Mary, and Olivia played an angel. Before the show, there was this young boy going around the dressing room and proclaiming to everyone who could hear him, "I am a sheep." And they would ask, "What are you?" Of course, each child responded politely, including Olivia, who proudly declared she was an angel. Then the boy turned to Claire, who was still struggling to get into her costume with her mother's help. He repeated the question to her, "I'm a sheep, what are you?" Claire simply said, "I'm Mary." Realizing he was face to face with a lead character, the boy felt he needed to justify his own role. "It's hard being a sheep, you know." And he was very serious about this. Claire's equally serious response was humorously found, "Yes, but it's also hard being a virgin, you know." And if you think about it, it is hard being a virgin. You think about 2,000 years ago, Mary, they think that she was probably between 13, 14 years old. So she was barely a teenager when all this happened to her. And you can imagine today, in a similar situation, it would be kind of a scary proposition. 13, 14 years old, even though I know in society today we have problems with that, but we're not going to go into that. You remember from last Sunday, one of the most beautiful Christmas songs, modern Christmas songs, is "Mary, Did You Know?" So I'm going to tell you a little bit about that. "Mary, Did You Know?" was written, the poem, the lyrics, were written by a man named Mark Lowry. He's best known for being a comedian, but he was also a musician. And he performed for many years with the Gaither Vocal Band. Well, in 1984, he was asked by his church to pen some words for their choir. And the poem began like this. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?" A few years later, Buddy Green added a perfectly matching tune and a wonderful song was born. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels tread? Mary, did you know when you kiss your little baby, you kiss the face of God?" Each of those little couplets touches the heart in a wonderful way. "Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all creation? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? That song's been around for a little over 20 years. Very popular song, and says a lot. You can imagine the various thoughts that were going through Mary's mind as the angel was talking to her, and she probably didn't really know what was ahead for her son. And it was probably a rather trying experience, watching her son grow and go through the persecutions and things that he went through and finally being crucified. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, is the only one that really tells this story in this kind of a detail. In fact, some people say the Gospel of Luke is often called the Gospel of Womanhood because he talks about more women in his Gospel than any of the other Gospels. Luke tells the story of Jesus from Mary's point of view. The angel Gabriel, being a messenger of God, had already announced to the elderly gentleman named Zechariah. We remember that story. He was doing his duty in the temple, and an angel appeared to him and told him that his wife would have a son, and he didn't believe it. He thought, this is crazy. My wife's 50-some years old. She's already gone through the change of life. This can't happen. But he didn't really stop and think about Sarah was in her 90s when she had a child. So the angel struck him dumb, if you remember, and he was not allowed to speak until after the child was born, and they were asking what he was going to name it. So we've got two miracles happening here. We've got Elizabeth being already pregnant, 6 months pregnant, when the angel appears to Mary and tells her she's also going to become pregnant and conceive. And so there's miracles going on here. There's great faith going on here. Mary had to have had great faith to be able to listen to what the angel was telling her and not get scared and realize that, yeah, this is possible, because nothing is impossible for God. Now, we think about being favored by God, and you would, I guess, perceive that being favored by God meant that life was grand and everything went your way and it was perfect. That's not necessarily the case. As I'm sure you've all known as being Christians, that just because you're a Christian, just because you may be favored by God, doesn't mean that life is going to be a full bed of roses. Things happen. Life can sometimes be a little hard. And so we need to remember that just because we are favored as Christian people doesn't mean that everything's going to be perfect. And we've got lots of examples in the Bible, and Mary's a good example of that. Look at the things that she went through. The virgin conception and birth and having to travel in that condition to a place she'd probably never been to before, getting there and finding out there was no place for them. So you can imagine the kind of stress that Mary went through. In fact, there's a psychologist, Dr. Holmes, who came up with this scale of stress. The different kinds of things would cause a different number, a different amount of stress. He came up with this point system. And if you think about Christmas, his idea was that a normal Christmas is about 14 stress points. And probably a lot of us right now, it's Christmas Eve, and if you waited too long and didn't get everything taken care of, you're probably stressing about 15 or 20. But now we consider Mary. Being pregnant would cause about 40 points rather. Being unwed would cause 20 more. The change she went through in her living conditions, staying with Elizabeth for 3 months, earns 25 more. Being married to Joseph is another 50 points. Change in financial status, another 38 points. And surely there must have been words between her and Joseph when she found out they got there and there was no place for them, 35 points. And then the birth, 39 points, 16 for a change in sleeping habits, for 15 for a change in eating habits, not to mention all those uninvited guests, shepherds and angels coming and going, and wise men from the east. Psychologist Thomas Holmes says that people get sick when they reach about 200 points on his stress scale. Now, if you add all the stress points that I just mentioned to poor Mary, it comes out to 424. So you can imagine that poor girl, 13, 14 years old, had over twice what this doctor considers a stress point, a threshold that would make you physically ill, cause health problems in your life. She was a very brave girl, a very strong girl, apparently. And she was faithful. She didn't argue with the angel other than she questioned how. She said that she was here as a servant, and she remained faithful. Joseph, even though this probably caused a little bit of problem here, listened to God, remained faithful, and stayed with her, shielded her from the persecution she could have faced, the stoning that she could have faced by being an unwed mother. So there's a lot going on here and a lot of faith involved and being favored by God, or blessed by God, you might say. And we think about that from time to time. We see things going along good in our lives and we think, wow, God is really blessing us. But you know, if you really think about the blessings, being favored by God, it's not so much about everything going your way. When you are most blessed by God, it's not when everything is going your way. You are most blessed by God when you're struggling, because that's when God is closest to you. That's when you need him the worst, and that's where he is strongest. When things are going your way and you're not worried, you don't have any problems, God does not have to do so many things for you, so you may not be quite as close to God as you would be if you're struggling through life. And that's, I know, probably a different viewpoint on being blessed, but that's really the crux of the whole thing. God blesses us more when we are struggling because he is closer to us, because we need him worse than when things are going our way. And Mary and Joseph experienced a lot of struggles, and God was with them. He was present with them, helping them every step of the way. We've talked about this issue of the wise men and the nativity. And biblically, the wise men were not at the nativity. They weren't at the stable with the shepherds and the animals, the cows and the donkeys and the sheep and all that stuff. They weren't there. Biblically, the wise men didn't show up until after he was born. And if you read it, it says they went to Mary's house. That's where we celebrate Epiphany, which is in 2 weeks. And it's thought that maybe it could have been even a year or 2 years after he was born. But that's another place where God was taking care of them. Because those wise men brought gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh, and that stuff was probably very valuable. And this was at a time, because they had stopped to see Herod on their way to see the baby. And Herod was furious because he had found out there was a new king born and he wanted rid of it. And so they had to escape to Egypt. So the wise men were there at a perfect time when they were mostly needed. God was again blessing Mary and Joseph and Jesus because this was a struggle time. They needed to get away. This gave them those resources. So everything that happens in your life, just like with them, if you have great faith like they did and great trust like they did, everything happens at the perfect time, in the perfect way, to get you through whatever you need to get through. So nothing is impossible with God. You can underline that, highlight it in yellow. Nothing is impossible with God. We mentioned Abraham and Sarah. You would have thought that was impossible. It wasn't. Elizabeth, you would have thought that was impossible. It wasn't. Nothing is impossible with God. God can get you through anything. And one of the problems that we have in our society today is science, technology. We've talked about that before. How the more we can explain things through science and technology, the less room we have for God. We don't see the miracle in those things anymore because we can explain them. But nevertheless, the fact that things happen when they happen and how they happen is just as much a miracle as the science that you can explain. Life is hard. It was not ever meant to be easygoing. Some of you know that I carry around those little pass it on cards. I used to carry them around all the time and give them to people. And one of those says, God didn't guarantee you a safe flight. He guaranteed you a safe landing. He didn't tell anybody that, hey, life's going to be easy. But he's always there for you. Fred Craddock, who's a New Testament scholar, tells of a trip he took to Bethlehem. And they were in this shepherd's field, standing in this shepherd's field, and this Jewish man was explaining to them the Christmas story. Now, this is kind of odd in the first place because the Jewish people don't necessarily believe in Jesus as a Messiah. They're still waiting for him, I think. So this Jewish man, this tour guide, is explaining this story, and he says, this is a place where the shepherds might have heard the angel's song. On a clear night, you can look towards the city, and there is a bright star. It looks like it's standing right over the houses. And that, he said, is what happened at Christmas. Of course, Fred Craddock knew that that wasn't quite the way it was, but he didn't correct him. And the Jewish man said, and that's where people get confused and thought there was a star over the house. So when the tour guide, the Jewish man, got finished, Fred Craddock said, well, that's one way to look at it. Then the Jewish man said something interesting. He says, I know that's just one way to look at it. He says, when I was in school, the rabbi explained everything in the Bible in two different ways. When he would come to a miracle, he would explain it two different ways, and his reason was this. If something happens and you can't explain it any other way, then God didn't do it. That doesn't sound right, does it? But listen, think about that for a moment. If you can't explain it a second way, God didn't do it, because God always gives us a second way to look at anything that happens. He never overpowers us with certainty. He doesn't smack you in the face and prove to you that this is what's happening. As Paul says, we see life through a glass darkly. And that's what faith is. And that's why it makes sense that when something happens, if there's no other way for it to happen, God probably didn't do it. But if you can look at it in different ways, like explaining it away for science, then God did it. Because God wants us to believe that He can do things by faith. And He could just as easily come down here and show us He exists. He could just as easily prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a God, there is a Jesus, there is a Holy Spirit. But He doesn't work that way. He wants us to believe those things by faith. And that's where Mary and Joseph had great faith, to believe the things that were happening to them. Those strange things that were going on in their lives. And we can be thankful for that. We can be thankful that they were faithful, that Mary didn't turn and run, that Joseph didn't abandon her, that she wasn't stoned by those in the community because they had great faith. And because they had great faith, God was with them and helped them through all of this. Chuck Colson tells a story. On Christmas Eve 1985, he was in a place to speak in several nearby prisons. Well, he had turned on the CNN late night news a few days before that, and on the screen was Mother Teresa. She had her arms around two emaciated young men. They were in their last stages of AIDS and had just been released from a prison. When the reporter wanted to know why we should care about criminals with AIDS, Mother Teresa explained that these young men had been created in God's image and deserved to know God's love. He watched all this taking place on TV and thinking to himself, how could she do that? How could she embrace those men who were dying of a deadly disease? And he thought to himself, I could never do that. Well, the next morning he preached to several hundred women prisoners. As he was getting ready to leave, the warden asked if he would visit a young lady named Bessie Shipp. Bessie Shipp had AIDS, and so she was in an isolation cell. It's Christmas, explained the warden, and nobody has visited her. So now Colson's thinking in the back of his mind what he saw on TV and Mother Teresa hugging these young men that had AIDS and thinking to himself, I can't do that. And he starts thinking of excuses of why he can't go see her. But then something opens up in him. He sees Mother Teresa hugging those young men and thinking she had put herself at risk. And she was willing to do that to show those young men God's love. So he said, sure, I'll go talk to her. And when they got to this isolation cell, there was this young woman in a bathrobe reading a Bible. And him and the prison chaplain talked to her for a little bit and asked her, do you know Jesus? She said, no. She says, I try to. I read this book. I want to know him, but I haven't been able to find him. And so they agreed to kneel down with her and pray with her. And together they led her to Jesus. When they finished, they saw tears flowing down her cheeks. It was a life-changing moment, not just for Bessie Shipp, but for Chuck Colson. And he remembers that about how Mother Teresa was willing to do that, and now he was able to give someone with AIDS God's love. And you think about that, you remember, and we still do it sometimes, but back in the day when preachers didn't have baptismals, they took you out to a freezing cold creek and they baptized you in the creek. And you notice that the preacher and the people that got baptized never got sick. That was a perfect environment for them to get a cold or the flu or whatever, and they never got sick. Why is that? Because God was with them. They were doing God's work. They were spreading God's love. And because of that, he was there. Just like he was there with Mother Teresa, he was there with Chuck Colson. It's about faith. It's about trust. It's about spreading God's love. So we can be very thankful for the Marys of the world, for the Josephs of the world, those who would trust and have great faith in God, those that would allow God to lead them in a place they didn't know where they were going. And that is truly a blessed life. Mary, did you know? Remember that. Amen.